Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
How many years would it take to drive back and forth to Montana, hauling back in a pickup truck pieces of Crazy Mouse?
And the Bulldog.
This is me. Hi, I'm Chris. Because I'm a maniac. I'm irresponsible. And I'm bad with money. And, you know, I drink too much sometimes. So I don't make good decisions.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just realizing, I don't really know anything about what's happening with Fantasy Island, that Crazy Mouse. It's back when it was closed and they were going to be selling the rides, which maybe they did some of, but then it was like that was kind of stopped or it ended and it was going to be open again. And maybe it was, at least the water park. I don't know. You don't know these answers, do you?
I don't have any answers on that. No.
They have a sign on the 190 that says closed for the 21 season. Like, still, today it said that. It's been saying that since, I don't know, September, October, whatever it is they did close for the season. It's reopening 2022. It's Memorial Day is a week from
When's the last time I was at your house?
That I know of?
It's about 2 years ago now, right? That is the last time I've been on that. I haven't been on the island since I was last at your house. Like, even crossing over, I haven't had a reason to traverse that piece of the 190.
So you don't know. Well, maybe know. Maybe we'll get some answers because, you know, a lot of people have had a lot of fun there, including myself.
Me too. We went with the boys when they were little. Good times.
Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Kevin Ostreicher, Locked On Ravens. Kevin, Mike, and Chris here. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Yeah, of course. It's great to be on with you guys.
So Baltimore is such an interesting team, I think, at least. We've talked about the odds a lot, and the AFC North odds are super tight among three teams. You know what? Before I ask you sort of a starting question about this year, I want to talk about last year first, ask you about last year first. When did you maybe know, with all their injuries, that they were going to have a tough time? Because a lot of that happened even before the season, yet there they were at 8-3.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And to me, the this might not work out, I think, realization happened probably in the Miami game Thursday night, when it was a game where Miami at that point was kind of struggling, and they ended up having a great second half of their season. But Lamar Jackson really couldn't get it going. That defense was suffocating the offense. And then from there, it was kind of that downhill trajectory. But it's crazy because this team was actually 8-3 through 12 weeks, the top of the AFC through 12 weeks, somehow with losing J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters and all the countless other guys that they had missed for a week or a month and all those different types of things. So the fact that they were in that position in the first place was great, but then as with any injury with any NFL team, it is going to cap the ceiling depending on how good the player is. And when losing so many stars at once, obviously Lamar Jackson ends up going down against Cleveland later in the year and misses the rest of the season. So it just became a situation where it was overwhelming. And every team goes through injuries, right? Every team goes through it. But the Ravens were definitely, in my opinion, the most injured team in the league, and it caught up to them, I think, starting in that Week 10 game and then kind of going from there.
Yeah, it is wild to remember that they were on top there, though, despite all that. Because you're right, a lot of that, there was one day in the summer where they lost like two or three guys in one practice to ACL injuries, was there not?
Yeah, they lost, I think it was reported as back-to-back plays. It was Marcus Peters and Gus Edwards on back-to-back plays or very close between each other toward their ACLs, and John Harbaugh called off practice and said that's enough for today. So it was a pretty devastating couple weeks there, because a couple weeks before, just days, the Ravens lost J.K. Dobbins. So in that really short stretch, it was three key players going down for the year.
than Gus Edwards, and for a team that has been so much, more than any other in the league, except maybe San Francisco, identified by its running game, and then they just lose those two guys and end up at Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman. I mean, they were flailing to get that part of their team, such an important part of that team up and running, and it was, no pun intended, and it wasn't easy. So this year, Kevin, like, plus 200, plus 200, plus 200, Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati, as I look at it. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, it's close, and I think rightfully so. I mean, this division is super talented, one of the best in the NFL. In my opinion, you have Cincinnati, who is obviously the AFC North representative in 2021 in the Super Bowl, and obviously Cleveland making their key additions on the field. It's going to be tough this year, but I think for the Ravens, they are more of the forgotten team, I'd say. I mean, this was a team that went 1-5 in their division last year, finished last, will play a fourth-place schedule this year, which I think has, obviously, its advantages. Cincinnati, you look at their back half of their schedule, it's a gauntlet, and they're a talented team. I think they can win some games there. But I think for all these AFC North teams, and especially Baltimore, who four of their last five games are going to be against divisional opponents. You got Cleveland in there, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, obviously. It's going to be a tight race. Right now I have Baltimore literally in a tie for first place, literally winning off of tiebreakers against Cincinnati. I have them both at 12-5 right now. I think they're both super talented. Cleveland right behind there. And then Pittsburgh, you can never count them out with Mike Tomlin and what he's been able to do with that organization over his tenure there. So I think this division will be able to provide plenty of entertaining games when the teams face off against each other. But, yeah, those odds to me, they sound about right, because I think it's going to come down to the wire for sure.
I've been surprised to see Cleveland that highly rated, because I guess I'm assuming some Watson suspension. Like, how closely are you, and I would think Ravens fans would be, I don't know, quite edge of their seats, but, I mean, there's been news on that this week with the NFL starting to talk to Watson. And, any games missed would be to another team in that division's benefit. So, obviously, Baltimore, I would think you'd be looking to kind of be hoping that Watson misses, I don't know what, 4, 6, even 8 games.
Yeah, with Watson, the situation for Baltimore is if he's suspended for anywhere, so 6 games or less, the Ravens would play him both times. The Ravens first face off against Cleveland in Week 7. So if it's a 6-game suspension, Watson's first game back would be against Baltimore in Week 7. And then they play him later, very, very late in the year. So if Watson's suspended for the whole season, that would be a situation where they wouldn't have to play him the entire year, obviously. But I think, yeah, that's why I have Cleveland a bit lower right now than Baltimore and Cincinnati, just because it's such an unknown with how long Watson, if Watson, how long it would be if he is suspended. I would anticipate some sort of suspension coming. Obviously, you never know, but it would shock me if there wasn't something. It just feels like that's what's going to end up happening. But, you know, nothing set in stone yet, obviously. But, yeah, Cleveland is a team that always seems to give the Ravens a fit or two, especially over the last couple of seasons. And their team does look a bit different this year. Their wide receiver core obviously getting a bit of a makeover. No Odell Beckham, no Jarvis Landry. They're bringing Amari Cooper. But they're a team right now that I have kind of a tier below Cincinnati and Baltimore, just because there is that uncertainty surrounding Deshaun Watson.
Talking about the Baltimore Ravens with Kevin Ostreicher here on WGR, Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Kevin, not knowing how many appearances like this you do around the NFL, but I would think that almost always somebody has a question for you about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens' passing game. I want to preface my question with, like, I don't have questions about Jackson and passing game. I've read, like everybody's read, him taking those shots ever since he's entered the league. I think he's fine at it, but what I think is also true, and maybe even more important, is that the Ravens have just not successfully built a passing offense that can keep up, you know, in big games for as much as they've won. And so I want to be optimistic about him and that, but we're still at Greg Roman and we're trading Marquise Brown away here. Like, what's right to expect?
Yeah, it's certainly a fair question to ask what this offense, at least from what they're going to do running versus passing, is going to be in 2022. Now, what they did in 2019 running the football, I mean, that was a historic offense on multiple different levels. Obviously, it didn't work out in the playoffs. But I think with how the Ravens have built their team, even after trading away Marquise Brown, instead of going out there and drafting a wide receiver, they take two tight ends instead. And Isaiah Likely, he can be used in a lot of different positions. He comes out of Coastal Carolina. But what you could be seeing this year is the Ravens maybe keeping four tight ends and possibly four running backs and maybe five wide receivers. Recently, they've been keeping six, sometimes even seven, on their roster. So maybe we'll see kind of a reduction in the receivers they keep. Right now, their number one wide receiver is Rashad Bateman. I mean, a very talented player, don't get me wrong. But their top four guys, you have two third-year guys and two second-year guys. Other than that, it's undrafted rookies. It's guys who've been on the practice squad for a couple of seasons. So it's a very young group. And I think what we saw at the beginning of 2021, before the injuries really, really started to pile up, enough that they didn't before the season, was the passing offense was improved. And part of that was, look, they lost their top three running backs. They kind of had to move to more of a passing offense anyway. But I think if they can take some of what they saw at the beginning of the season and go back to a bit of their running style, which we did see in 2019 and 2020. The whole league has kind of gone to this, you know, passing offense and then throwing the football for 300, 400 yards. The Ravens have zagged in the opposite direction and have been more of that running team. So you're right. The receiving core right now, is it the strength of this roster? No, it's not the strength. But I think you have some talented guys there that could also bring in a veteran. If they can be a running team that also has a good passing offense, I think that is more than enough for them to achieve their goals and possibly make a deep Super Bowl run here.
Where do things stand with Jackson on the contract front, and how much, if at all, do you think the style of offense they play could impact it? Like, is he frustrated by trading away Hollywood Brown? Is he frustrated by the style of offense they have mostly played? I mean, I know, like, you know, whatever, I tune out the noise, but I would think, like, I agree with Mike. We both loved him coming out of college, and I think he can produce in a passing game that's, you know, tailored to his skills, but you're not really getting the opportunity to do it, and I wonder if that's bothering him.
Yeah, it's all about putting him in a position to win. And I think you're starting off with what you were talking about with Jackson's contract. I think for right now, my guess would be the reason he has not signed an extension yet with the Ravens is because he wants to bet on himself in 2022, much like we saw here with Joe Flacco, when Flacco turned down an extension during his contract year, went out there and won the Super Bowl and earned himself tens of millions of dollars. With Jackson, that's on a different scale because I think a lot of people, they look at the end of his season, and it was from that Miami game on, he was struggling, then he got injured and he missed the rest of the season. So I think that if he can come back in 2022 and have a great year, make the Pro Bowl, you know, be in them, whatever it may be, make the playoffs, maybe go on a Super Bowl run if he wins the Super Bowl, instead of signing that extension during this time, where maybe he's locking himself into obviously a very high number, he could increase that number, and he deserves every penny of whatever contract he does sign. I think this is more of a him betting on himself situation. I'm sure, you know, trading away Marquise Brown wasn't his favorite thing in the world, but Marquise Brown made it known that he kind of initiated that and said, hey, I want out. You know, he wants a situation where he can better thrive. And the Ravens' offense isn't for everybody. It's not for every wide receiver. John Harbaugh has said that he's not going to beg wide receivers to come and play for him. And, you know, if they want to come and be able to work and be in a great offense, then great. But if not, then he said that they'll look forward to playing him every Sunday. So for Marquise Brown, he just wanted a better opportunity. He and Lamar Jackson are very close. So obviously them not being together anymore, you know, probably staying a little bit. I'm not going to lie about that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of him being frustrated with the offensive style of play, I think it'll be key this year to see what they end up doing. I don't think he's frustrated. But, you know, he's a great passer. He's a good thrower of the football. I think that's a very underrated part of his game, and I personally don't know why, because he puts it on tape. He's not the perfect quarterback, but I think he's a very, very good one. So at the end of the day, what you have in Lamar Jackson is somebody who wants to, I think, be in Baltimore. I think he's made that clear. The organization has made it clear that they want him to be here. It's just a matter of when Lamar Jackson feels like the bet on himself is paid off. That could be this year. It could be next year. So it's a very fluid situation. I mean, we'll see what happens with it.
Kevin Oestreicher, our guest, a couple more questions here. Do you think they're done at receiver? Like, there are still Landry signed, but Will Fuller, or even Antonio Brown, dare I mention him? Like, do you think the Ravens are done, or might they dabble a little bit with the guys who are left?
I think they could dabble. I'm not entirely sure what their mindset is, but obviously they do trust their young guys. It's a situation where they like Rashad Bateman a lot. They like Devin Duvernay, James Prochet, and Tylan Wallace. But again, as I kind of talked about earlier, it's a lot of inexperience in that room. So the guys out there, you mentioned Jarvis Landry. He was my number one choice, still available. This obviously isn't March anymore, so you're not going to have those like top-level wide receivers who were on the market still there. It's the middle of May. But I think what you could do is, if the Ravens want to address some of the skill set needs they have at the position, Julio Jones addresses a big body type receiver. Yeah, T.Y. Hilton out there, Will Fuller, who could be those speedsters, but the issue with a lot of these players is their injury histories and just how many games you getting out of a veteran at this point, whether it's Julio Jones, who obviously has had known hamstring issues over the course of his career, Will Fuller, who hasn't been able to stay on the field, T.Y. Hilton, who's had his fair share of stuff. So I think signing a veteran is the right move for the Ravens if they go that route. Hilton, Fuller, Jones are some of the options I look at for them potentially, but if they want to add a veteran and just have a guy in that room who can be a stabling veteran presence, I think that would be good for him.
All right, so look out. I mean, Baltimore has been tough in these last few years, and last year got away with the injuries, including to Jackson. But, you know, when they – the Ravens kind of – how do you feel about this, Kevin? Like, is it deserved? The Ravens kind of have this touch where whatever they do gets a lot of credit. I mean, the draft – they did trade away Brown, but that trade got a lot of credit. And, of course, the – what was it, 6 fourth-round picks, just getting to that point and then using all of them as they did – This team can draft a punter in the fourth round and get applauded. So, you know, I'm sure that's – I know it is. Has been earned by the organization. I wonder if you ever think it sort of like goes too far, or if you even might think this is way off what I'm saying.
I mean, I think they have definitely earned the respect that they've gotten, certainly across league circles over the course of their franchise history. And I think for a lot of people's careers there, you know, talking about what Ozzie Newsome has done for that franchise and what Steve Bisciotti has done, you know, ever since, you know, really making this team competitive year in and year out. Eric DaCosta, what he's been able to do. You have great head coaches who have come through there, like Brian Billick and John Harbaugh. And, you know, is every decision they make the right one? No. I mean, I'm sure they'd be the first to tell you that they have a couple of decisions that maybe they'd like to have back or not do well, you know. But I think for what they have done over the course of their franchise history, for how they've been able to stay competitive. I mean, if you're looking at John Harbaugh's tenure in particular, Harbaugh, throughout his very long, you know, 10-plus-year coaching career there, he started in 2008, he's only had 2 losing seasons. And both those seasons were marred by a ridiculous amount of injuries. You have 2015, where that team was just – it was absolutely killer in terms of having injuries. They had, obviously, the 2021 season. So, yeah, they could have made a better decision here, a better decision there. I mean, I know a recent example, taking a fullback in the 5th round that didn't end up making the team was a decision that was highly criticized, at least – throughout Baltimore circles. But I think for what you have and everything they have done over that very historied franchise history, I'd say that they've earned that respect, and I think that's why they're one of the more respected teams in the NFL.
All right, Kevin, nice chatting with you today. Any questions for us?
No, this was great, guys. I really appreciate you having me on and talking Ravens with me.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
thank
man.
You.
All right.
Kevin Ostreicher, Locked On Ravens. Baltimore's first 4 games – kind of odd that they are the 4 AFC East teams in a row. That's how they start. Their extra NFC game is at the Giants. The last place schedule point is mitigated a little bit just by how the league, how the standings fell. I mean, they played Denver as an extra opponent, which is pretty good because they were in last place in their division. And it would be, I guess, Jacksonville, but all those teams are kind of bad. So it doesn't matter that much when the divisions are kind of packed in together like that, maybe not a big deal. They play all the AFC East teams, and again, they play them as their first 4 teams.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Denver being a fourth place team is not that's not a gift. I mean, they should be a lot better with Russell Wilson. If the thinking that they were a quarterback away from being a contender was correct, I generally subscribe to that. So that's a tough last place team to play. But other than that, I mean, the Giants, I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know what kind of step the Giants, you know, it almost feels like from the minute those, you know, the Bills guys got there, it's just clean it up, shovel it into a, just whatever. We're not going to be that good this year because we're taking our medicine.
Yeah, and that is how this started here, but they won 9 games anyway.
Right.
And made the playoffs anyway, the Bills, so to end the drought. So who knows, but There's another team where the quarterback thing, like we talked about the Dolphins earlier. How similar or different are these two situations where Daniel Jones, maybe it's more of an assumption or a given that he won't last there. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option, so that's a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing a lot? Joe, how does this look to you? Are they doing a lot, the Giants, to help him, Jones? I mean, I feel like I like some of their guys, but it's some of the same guys as last year. Tony, Galladay, Barkley.
I think they're doing a lot to help whoever the quarterback would be. So for now, that's Jones, because, I mean, even if you want, they signed Feliciano on the offensive line. They drafted Evan Neal, so they made upgrades there. They have a billion receivers after drafting Wendell Robinson, and Shepard is still there, and Tony is still there, and Galladay. So he's got weapons. He's got a line that's upgraded. He's got good pieces on defense and a coach that's like, is he got the rep of a quarterback whisperer now just from Josh Allen? Like, it's pretty good from a quarterback standpoint to get Dable. So I think that would all point to they're giving him everything he needs, but they didn't pick up the fifth-year option.
Right, right.
So,
that's what I'm waiting to say. Like, that's the curious part of the whole thing. Like, they seem like they're supporting him, but they're balking at a fifth-year option. That doesn't really add up.
I'm not sure they're supporting him in any way that they wouldn't be doing anyway. Like drafting an offensive tackle in the top 10 or, like, really, they didn't. Who have they added skill-wise?
I guess the only other guy is Wendell Robinson, which is a second-round receiver.
Third, yeah.
Third-round receiver.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
No, that's second. That's early second round because he goes before Pickens, and he was like the sixth or seventh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he went really high.
I'm sorry.
I remember seeing the reaction to like him going there as like the seventh or eighth receiver, which nobody had, and nobody had him going there because Kadarius Toney, who they spent a first-round pick on last year, is like the same exact skill set.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry to have corrected you and been wrong. Second round, pick 43.
He was the eighth receiver taken after Christian Watson.
Ahead of Sky Moore.
Ahead of Sky Moore, ahead of Pickens, ahead of David Bell.
That'll be something to watch because he was not rated above those guys. I mean, in most places. Maybe not in the Giants list, but maybe everywhere else. That was kind of a weird one.
I still think Tyrod is getting in at some point this season.
You think well, I don't know if you still do. You have a bet, I can see it, that he will start week one for them next year.
Yes.
That's a bold take.
I think it's more likely than Daniel Jones.
What is your hottest NFL quarterback take right now? Think about that. Hottest NFL quarterback take.
Baker Mayfield will start a playoff game. I'll die on Kirk Cousins sucks hill. Okay. I don't even think that's a hot take. I got a lot of company there. I don't know. Maybe right. I got a lot of company on the Mayfield thing, too. I don't know. But
do you have hotter than that? Let me see if I can come up with one hotter than that. 803-0550 to join us. Brian Koziol in about an hour and a half on the PGA. We'll keep you updated on that with the next sports report from Joe. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
18 games might be inevitable, but it's not coming anytime soon. If I were whoever's running the NFLPA at the time, this would be my beachhead. No 18th game. We'll strike rather than giving you an 18th game. And what has happened in the past is that because players are not willing to go on strike, then they usually give in and give in to things like a 17th game. It's a league that talks about injury protection all the time. To be thinking about an 18th game is absolutely absurd.
Peter King right there on One Bills Live today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, thanks for listening. Nice day. It's not 100.
It came around.
Thank goodness for that.
It's pretty dreary this morning, but by mid-afternoon, sun's out.
It wouldn't be a nice day
no,
if it was
that's 100. Right. That's right. It wouldn't be a nice day if it were 100 degrees. It would be a record for any day in Buffalo, 100 degrees.
Yeah. Records are usually not nice days.
Records are made to be broken.
This is one I'm rooting for being broken, that's for sure.
Unless you play hockey.
I'm not real concerned with the previous high temperature on a given day having its record broken and whether they have champagne when it holds up. I don't care.
Yes.
Give me 100.
Like the 72 Dolphins, something right. where like meteorologists congregate mm-hmm. and celebrate when a record is not broken, maybe? I don't even know.
Do they
how
do that?
That should go.
No, I don't think it'll be the meteorologist, unless they're big fans of a specific day. It's got to be, maybe it's some people whose birthday is on a given day.
The Dolphins.
I meant the Dolphins.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, sadly, the team is dying off a little bit, but yeah, like those guys, it's a big deal when whoever the last undefeated team is loses their first game. Yeah.
I mean, they played 14 games.
They all go to Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's.
And they sneak in some bubbly and pop it open, pop the bubbly, and they all say, it's okay, it's the 72 Dolphins. The rules are different for them. For Zonk.
His friends call him Zonk.
Zonk.
The Zonk Man.
For Bob Greasy.
Wow.
And his glasses.
And that stupid little face mask.
I don't think I know a lot about that team. I also don't think I really want to know a lot about that team.
Let me think about that.
I don't really have an appetite for it. Like, The Last Dance came out about Michael Jordan's Bulls. I was like, okay, I could know more about this, and I'm ready for it.
The 72 Dolphins are too long ago?
If there was a 72 Dolphins, like, 10-part 30 for 30 that came out, I don't think I'm watching a second of it. Hmm. I might watch this Ravens one that's coming out now about the 2000 Ravens. Like, I would not get... I don't even know if it's long ago. No, that probably is it.
Let me think about this. Let's talk to Mike first. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. I got a little hot take at quarterback. I think Tua could win the Super Bowl in Miami this year and still probably not be the quarterback next year. I think Joe summed it up really well earlier when he's like, well, you could go to the playoffs, you could win a game, but I think they could ultimately win the Super Bowl, and the owner would want them to get better. He's just not good enough to command the position when you got that kind of a team around you and you're building a team like that.
Well, it's hard. I mean, I think anybody could say this. It's hard to imagine a team winning the Super Bowl and changing not having a great quarterback. But, you know, like the 49ers are pretty close for a team that, you know, they haven't changed the quarterback yet, and they didn't win. So they're not all the way there. Baltimore with Flacco.
The Eagles.
The Eagles with Foles. Yeah, that's right. So it could happen. It could happen in your scenario.
But not as, like, the starter, right? Like, as the guy. Like, that was different because it was a backup that came in at the end.
Right, and the guy played like an MVP until he got hurt. So, like, that's a different. Yeah, I mean, you asked for a hot take. That's a hot take, that Tua could lead the Dolphins to the Super Bowl and they would still replace him. I mean, I think there's almost no scenario where I could envision that happening.
The hot take is just them winning it.
that's all Mike needs
here, is that they win the Super Bowl. If that's what he's predicting.
Yeah.
His prediction is that
he's,
if they do, that's
coupled
right.
with, they'd still ditch him. And, like,
that's right.
To me, that's hot. That goes from hot to, like, I don't know, molten lava outer space. Just no. I mean, I don't see any way that could happen. They could win the Super Bowl with him. I wouldn't rule it out.
How does it happen? So the defense is amazing, and their running game is so great. Mike McDaniel, San Francisco. So he plays kind of that style we're used to, kind of within himself. I mean, not a lot of – he has good metrics throwing the ball deep. He just doesn't do it. So – he doesn't have to take the shots that people criticize for not taking, and they don't turn the ball over, and their kicker goes 38 for 40, and they win. They get to the playoffs. They do what the Rams and the Bengals did by winning just close game after close game. Could that happen? Yeah.
Yeah. Or he could just be much better than he's ever been because Tyreek Hill is on his team now. I mean, that's a long shot to me, but that could still happen. Like, their pass game could blast off. With Hill and Waddle. I mean,
right.
Those two guys, I think those are two of the most dangerous receivers with the ball in their hands in the league, and they're on the same team.
Sure.
Like, I feel like Waddle, I loved Waddle coming out of college, in part because he, to me, reminded me of Tyreek Hill. like not so much body type, but just like skill set, speed. I mean, those guys are both super dangerous. And like Hill, we've seen Hill wreck the Bills a few times, and that's with, you know, Byron Pringle as the other receiver or Mecole Hardman. I mean, of course, Kelsey's there. But, you know, Gesicki's pretty good, good athlete, dangerous down the seam. I don't know, man. Those two guys could – I wouldn't bet heavily on it. I would want really good odds. But that passing game could really take a step with those two guys.
The difference for me would be maybe comparing it to the Kansas City offense is – like, I think of the plays where Hill scores in the second-to-last drive in the divisional round, or he scores last year in the AFC Championship, or Pringle goes off for a big one. Where are Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde?
Yeah, right. They're barely 30, even in the stadium.
They're 35 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And in Miami, it's going to be the Navy offense. Like, it's going to be constipated. It's going to be, if I'm Hyde and Poyer, I'm playing 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. I'm going to dare, even with Waddle and Hill, go ahead, throw it over top of me. Let's see you do that. Because otherwise, I know what's coming my way. It's Hill and Waddle, slants. 5 yards, slants, screens, bubble routes, and suddenly I've got more bodies closer to the line of scrimmage, and I'm not letting Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle get into open field where it's one-on-one and they're going to make me miss every time. It's going to be gang tackling because I've got 4 guys around the ball.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Getting connected with our fans brought to you by the law firm of Gelber & O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. I can't find a quarterback take, that's really, you know, much above like your coffee after it's been sitting for like 15 minutes. It's really just, it's a little bit hot. It's hot enough to drink, but it's not hot. Wentz used to be one for me. Wentz is actually bad. Now everybody thinks that. The Allen thing is sort of just like he is official as great, you know? Like there's really much – is there – am I wrong? Like there's not much more of a debate anymore on Josh Allen. Maybe it's can he solve world peace is a debate left to have on Allen. But really, like Superman, I mean, it's –
There's nothing there.
So, geez, like, who is somebody that I am different on? We already talked about Hurts. I want to be optimistic for Hurts, but it's forced a little bit for me. You know, I've got to – my inclination is usually, or instinct is usually, you know, defend a guy like that. And I did. I have many times on Hurts. You know, just the running piece is part of the fantasy player in me because he has extra value in fantasy, so I think of him probably not like consciously, but I probably think of him as a little bit better than somebody who doesn't play fantasy. But, you know, that doesn't matter to the Eagles. Except to say he does give them value with his legs, you know, just like he gives the fantasy owner value. But that playoff game was gross. I mean, his passing, it's got to get better. Unless they just can win an NFC division without it. And then
that's possible.
Possible. They were in the playoffs without it,
right?
Already, but I don't think I'm saying anything that's really sort of out of line on him. I'm not in a place where I think I'm really any different on Hurts.
No, he's the most bet quarterback to win the MVP right now.
Yeah.
I don't think like that game was gross. I think the jury's out on him because what was he working with in terms of a passing game? Like I feel uncomfortable judging him yet as a passer when his receiving core was a rookie receiver, a good tight end, and like those two are good. But then past that, I've got like an undrafted speedster as my number two receiver. I've got Jalen Reagor, who maybe shouldn't even be on the field. He maybe only is because he was a first-round pick. I don't know how much he's had to work with. Now he's got A.J. Brown. So like if this year he looks the same as last year, then I'm ready to say – like, there's not a ton there. I thought you were going to go Daniel Jones, because I think typically you sound higher on Daniel Jones than most. I mean, there's...
maybe.
Yeah.
But I feel that sort of the same way here on him that I just described on Hurts. The no fifth-year option thing is not a good sign for him. And his clips of his misses are kind of famous too. He can run, and maybe part of the Allen comp with Daboll going there is that they'll do more of that. That they'll have him being more willing to take off. I mean, there's an athlete with Jones. That's a piece of Allen's story that I always say, like, I just had no idea was coming. That he would just be this incredible weapon, especially around the goal line, turning field goals into touchdowns because nobody can tackle him. He's got moves, too. And so, I mean, he has one of the highest rushing touchdown totals in the NFL. Since he entered the league, of all players, I think it's 31 rushing touchdowns. So if you can get to a point where, like, Jones or somebody is a sort of a third and five, he's converting because the athlete in him, he's running for first downs, maybe somehow that leads to more wins and a place where he can last in the league. I think without it, he probably... not by a huge margin, but probably doesn't last for too long. I don't think he's been good enough to deserve that.
Well, that is a good comparable because he's probably a poor man's Allen in terms of the athlete. But, I mean, he was drafted, like the prospect, him and Hurts are very different to me. Hurts is great college player that you have questions about the arm strength. And that in part got him drafted in the second round. Daniel Jones was a bad college player at Duke. But under 60%, right, not a great touchdown interception ratio, just was not good in college, same as Josh Allen, right, 6'5", athlete, big arm, like that got him drafted in the first round. And then I've got 3 years of sample that says he's still not that good a passer. So there's an athlete in there, but to me, like what that sounds like is if they figure out how to use him as a runner, what I have now is 2019 Josh Allen at best.
Sorry.
Which was okay.
I got to think of a hotter take, or I'm not going to sleep tonight. I will. I will get you one. 803-0550 is the number. Hey, we've got a new contest called the BookSeats.com Ultimate Football Flyaway, and you might want to win it. To L.A. starts on May 23rd, so that would be Monday, through June 12th. Visit WGR550.com/contests and enter for your chance to win a trip for you and a guest to Los Angeles during the first week of the pro football season, including round-trip airfare, a two-night hotel stay, and a $1,000 gift card to BookSeats.com, a prize package valued at more than $4,000. One lucky winner will be randomly selected from all entries on June 13th. It's all courtesy of WGR Sports Radio 550 and BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, back after this timeout on WGR.
To a man, not one of us was anywhere near where we needed to be to start the game. You know, you don't draw it up giving up two goals on missed assignments. On the first two shifts, we gave up a goal at the start of the second period as well. We fought back and made it a game, but we can't feel good about that in any way. You scored six goals in a game and you found a way to not win it.
One way to put it, that's the Edmonton Oilers coach, Jay Woodcroft. 9-6 Flames. I'd enjoy talking some hockey next hour. I want to know, like, I want names for the Sabres. You know, what should we want? We've talked about some royalty-type names, you know, with the Penguins losing and the Leafs a little bit. Not all cases would I say these are, like, royalty, but, you know, names every hockey fan knows. But those are not likely scenarios for right. The Sabres, but they do have tons of money and a young, interesting team, maybe something like it is attainable and what we should shoot for. So whenever the time comes, I'll enjoy that conversation. The PGA, nobody that's playing in the afternoon group is better than -2, and that has been true all afternoon. All the good scores, the best scores, were posted by the guys who went out early. Bulldog, McIlroy dropped to +1,000, I think, before he even teed off.
Good thing I got him last night at +1,600.
I guess. I feel like that's probably the wind. Because I mean, I follow guys who play DFS golf, and they were tweeting about how everybody's lineup were just guys playing in the morning. So it seems like that was predicted, that the afternoon guys would have it tougher. Most of my team, if I don't sound like it, most of my team went off at like 2 o'clock. So I don't. None of my afternoon guys are even... except for Justin Thomas. Nobody's under par.
Yeah. What? I don't have a leaderboard open. I also threw a little money down on Cantlay just because, you know, whatever. It's plus 2,100. But last I saw, he was over par already. But.
Plus three.
Okay. Well, the weather, I mean, you touched on it when we talked to Joe Ostrowski in the first hour of the show. Like, check the forecast, you know? Like, what's the wind going to be like tomorrow? Is it going to be windy in the morning or in the afternoon or neither or both or whatever? Because it's no coincidence. I mean, it you know, the scoring, you're right. I mean, nobody is able to put up a number here this afternoon.
Not yet.
Yeah.
My man Taylor Gooch hanging in there at even par through 12. I did not pick him in our thing, but that's a long shot. It's a long shot. 803-0550 is the number. We'll get into that Sabres point and still looking for, I mean, scorching. I haven't come close. An NFL quarterback take. We've had one caller on Tua and the Super Bowl. A little bit of a longer scenario he was talking about.
Right. Tua wins the Super Bowl and still gets replaced.
And gets cut.
That's hot.
That's his scenario. Yeah. You know, it's longer than we need, but it's still something. It's better than I've been able to do. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, back after sports on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.